preach to us, brother. We appreciate you. That's not Ronnie Millsap. No, not at all. Not at all. It's Rodney Millsap. You pray for him.
Bless you, sir.
Privilege to be here today. I thank God for the opportunity. The invitation from Brother Allen to come and be a part of this meeting this morning. I was thinking as I was driving down the mountain this morning, I don't quite understand knowing the men that stood in this place in the years past and that'll come through here in the days to come, why God would honor and bless someone like myself to get to come be a part of it. But I am thankful this morning. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm part of God's family this morning. I'm glad I'm headed toward a country that's fairer than day. And looking forward to the day when we'll gather on the other side together there for eternity with our blessed Lord and Savior. The book of Haggai, chapter number 1. These verses have been on my heart, and I want to try to share some things with them with you this morning. And if you can and will, reverence to the reading of God's Word, I'd ask you to stand this morning. The Bible says, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua the son of Jehozadak the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. You've sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. And I'll take pleasure in it, and I'll be glorified, saith the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little, and when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is waste, and you run every man to his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I call for a drought upon the land, upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua the son of Jehozadak the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. They came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. You can be seated this morning. I do thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. We know very little today about the birth, the background, the life, and even the death of this prophet by the name of Haggai. His ministry seemed to be very short according to what we have knowledge of in the Word of God. All his recorded messages came in the same year, and that was in the second year of Darius's reign. It was a time when the children of Israel had came out of Babylonian captivity. captivity. We understand that they had spent some 70 years there because of their sin. They had turned into idols and worshiped false gods and left the worship of the true and living God. And God judged them because of that and allowed them to go into captivity for these years. And God still does the same today. God still don't wink at sin, and God still don't condone sin in our day, and God still judges sin. And they had experienced the judgment of God in their life because of the sin that they had committed. But in 536, Cyrus, the king of Persia, according to the book of Ezra, made a proclamation to allow the Jews to return to Jerusalem to begin to rebuild the temple. The Bible says in verse number 3 of Ezra 1, "Who is there among you of all this people? His God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judea, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and goods and beasts beside the free will offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem." In other words, Cyrus, the king of Persia, said there, he said, "Any of you that remain," he said, "I'm going to make a proclamation to allow you to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple of your God." And he said, "On top of that, when you get there, I want you to give an offering. I want you to bring the gold and the silver and the beast and all those things to help in the rebuilding of the temple." So they returned, and we know there were three different groups that returned, but the group that returned under Zerubbabel, they first of all rebuilt the altar and began making the sacrifices. And then according to chapter number 3, the foundation of the temple was laid in about 535 that year. But if you go on to chapter number 4 of the book of Ezra, and you don't need to turn there, I'm just wanting to read this to you. The people had began the work. They'd come back and they'd laid the foundation of the temple. And then all of a sudden there arose great opposition. There arose a lot of difficulties. There was a group of people in the land that oppressed them and worked against them and what they were trying to do. In fact, the Word of God says, "Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. They hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose." Here they are. They've come out of the land of Babylon. They've got an enthusiasm about them. They've got a zeal about them. They've got a heart to do the work of God and to build up the temple again that had been destroyed. And they go down there and they get the altar built and start making the sacrifices. They get the foundation of the temple laid, and all of a sudden there rises up a group of people that begins to frustrate their purpose and oppose them and the work they're doing. And the next thing you know, the work of God's not getting done anymore. Their enthusiasm's gone. Their zeal's gone. Their determination has waned. And now all of a sudden they become indifferent about the work of God. They become indifferent about building the temple. It really's not on their heart like it used to be. And here all of a sudden the work of God is laid 16 years without anything being done. Nothing being accomplished. They got sidetracked in their service. They had a job to do, but they had left the task unfinished. They had stopped short of their finish line. Now we understand today how easy it is to start anything. And it is. I mean, we can start stuff all the time. But staying with it and finishing it and seeing it through is a different story.
So God sends this man by the name of Haggai on the scene, and he comes with a message of a challenge. He comes with a message of encouragement to the people of that day, to try to encourage them to go back to work and get to rebuilding the temple of God and doing what God had placed them there to do. I don't know about you, but I believe today it's probably the same everywhere. We see a lot of indifference in our land. We see a lot of folks that's been enthused in the days past about doing the work of God and had a zeal about them. And I mean, you couldn't find them enough work to do. You couldn't keep them busy enough. But all of a sudden something happens and there's a little oppression rises up and a little opposition here, a little opposition there. And the next thing you know, they kind of indifferent about the work of God, and it's really not as important as it used to be. And then all of a sudden they're nowhere to be found, and the work of God's no longer getting done. And that's what happened in Haggai's day. God sent him along with a message. Amen. To encourage the people and to challenge them to go back to work. In verse 14 of the text that I read to you this morning, the Bible says that the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and the spirit, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. This morning, for just a few moments' time, I'd like to preach to you on, Lord, stir us again. Lord, stir us again in our day. The Lord stirred up. I tell you, I appreciate the messages of these men as they preached this morning. I sat back there and I thought, how many times we're trying to do the work of God in the energy of the flesh, Brother Terrell, rather than empowered by the Holy Ghost, rather than the Lord God Almighty stirring us down deep in our soul and going about it in His power and His strength and His ability and His wisdom to get the work done. The little word stirred here in the book of Haggai means to arouse. It means to awake. It simply means, listen to me this morning, it simply means that God done something on the inside of them, down deep in their heart, that caused them to go back with a zeal and a determination to finish the work they'd started in the days to come. Lord, stir us again this morning. There's a lot of work that still needs to be done. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. The work goes further than coming together on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. The work's greater than getting together for a few days, a Bible conference and meeting. These fields, it's wide in the harvest today, but the laborers are few. And we've got a work to do. And I say, as Brother Terrell said, this thing's going to wind down soon one of these days. Time's going to run out on us, and we need to beg the God of heaven this morning, stir us again. God, arouse us again. God, awake our hearts again to go back to doing the work you'd have us to do and finish the job today. Finishing the job. Lord, stir us again. May I point out just a few truths through this chapter with you this morning, then we'll get out of the way. So Brother Scott can come and preach to our hearts. First of all, I want us to notice from our text this morning the neglect of duty. Their neglect of duty. Their job when they came out of Babylon was to rebuild the temple. But they had neglected to do what they were called to do. The little word neglect means to ignore or disregard. It means to fail to care for or attend to sufficiently. And that's what had happened to these folks in the Word of God. They had just ignored what they were supposed to do. They had just disregarded the job at hand. Now, I want to say this morning. I don't believe for one moment today that this folk here in the Word of God did not think the work was important. I believe they knew the work was important. I believe they knew it was a great work. The problem with them them was is they just got sidetracked. They began to put their own work, their own affairs, their own doings in front of the work of God, in front of what God wanted them to do in that day. Haggai come to him and he said, I want you to consider your ways. You need to take a look at what you're doing. You need to examine yourself. You need to look at carefully how we're doing as far as carrying out the work of God today. Now listen to me. If we're going to consider our ways today, we better do it according to the Word of God. Because I tell you what you can do, as sorry as I am, I can find somebody that's sorrier. If I want to, I can. I can find somebody maybe as slack as I am. I can find somebody that's slacker if I look a whole lot. And a lot of times we evaluate what we're doing. We evaluate our work. We evaluate what we're doing for God according to the brethren and what somebody else is doing. We'll evaluate what we're doing as a church compared to what other churches are doing. What we need to do is consider our ways, examine our ways today according to the Word of God and see if we're doing what God wants us to do in His Word. And Haggai come and said, hey, I want you to consider your ways. And they saw the importance of this work. They knew that it was a needful work. They knew the necessity of the work. They just got wrapped up in their own business. See, the Bible says that the people say, the Lord told, in verse 2, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, this is what they had to say about the situation. The time's not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. God's man, Haggai, turned that thing right around and said, well, is it time for you to dwell in your sealed houses in this house lie waste? He said, you say it's not time to do the work of God, but you got time to do everything else you want to do. You got time to take care of your business. They had an excuse for why the work had stopped, didn't they? They said, well, time's just not right. Time's just not right. Benjamin Franklin said, I never knew a man who as good as at excuses who is good at anything else. That's pretty good. Never knew a man that's good at making excuses as good at anything else. Hadn't we got a lot of excuses today? I mean, sometimes even as pastors, even as preachers and deacons and the faithful few of the house of God, hadn't we got a lot of excuses sometimes for why we're not getting the job done? And they did that here in the Word of God. If I could turn back to you the Gospel of Luke chapter 9 right quick, you don't have to turn where Brother Doug on past where he read from this morning. You remember when Jesus called those to follow him and the man said, there I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus told him about the foxes have their holes and the birds have their nest to lay in. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first. Me first. I need to take care of me first. And then in verse 61, he said to another, Lord, I'll follow thee, but let me first. We live in a me first generation. And God wants us to put His work first today. And because they hadn't, they was neglecting the duty that God had brought them out of Babylon to do. Hurriedly, when I look at their neglected duty here, I see them neglecting a few things. First of all, when they neglected their duty here, they neglected, let me just put it this way, the church. They were neglecting the temple. They were neglecting God's house is what they were doing. And I'm going to tell you something today, the house of God is taken for granted about as much as anything you'll see in our day. People neglect it. It's not a holy day anymore. It's the weekend now. It's a day that we can get away and go. And I'm not saying folks don't need to get away, but we've used God's day. And we've neglected what we need to be doing around the house of God, being faithful to the house of God. You say, are you one of those preachers that believes folks ought to be there when doors open? Yes, I am today. I believe that when God, we are having service at the house of God and the lights are on, I just believe God's people ought to be gathering at the house of God. I believe God has something for you. There's things here that you need to be doing, you need to be getting, that you need to be involved in. And when we're not doing that, we're neglecting our duty. They neglected their duty to the temple, to the house of God, to the church, if I may say it that way. They were neglecting their duty. Then I think about their children. When they laid down and quit doing the work at the temple, there was always some little ones, no doubt, watching what was going on. We're going to raise a generation, if we're not careful, that's not going to think anything about staying out of church. You say, preacher, now listen a minute, times have changed. I understand that, but God hadn't. God's Word hadn't. And I'm going to tell you, we got kids today that have no respect for the house of God because parents didn't have any respect for the house of God. Now, I'm not trying to be ugly or mean today. I'm just trying to tell you, when they neglected their duty to the temple, to the church, to the house of God, there were kids that was watching them and what they were saying, well, that thing about going to church is not as important as Mom and Daddy has made it out to be, because here we are, we're off doing other things on Sunday rather than down at the house of God praying for the man of God, worshiping the living God today. We've got other things we need to be doing. And they neglected their own children by neglecting their duty to God. And then I believe, you say, preacher, you can stretch this too far if you ain't careful, but I believe they neglected their community. There was a community that they were working in and around them that was watching what was going on. You know they had to see those folks lay the foundation of that temple. You know they had to see them out there. They'd come back after that long stay in Babylon. They'd built the altars. They'd started making the sacrifices again. And then they laid the temple. And you know the whole community had to be watching what was going on. And now all of a sudden the work stops. 16 years passed. Nothing's being done. I wonder what that was telling those that lived around them. When they see us, this world, I know you say puts a lot of pressure on us, preacher, but they're watching us today, whether we won't admit it or not. And I know we've got that good Baptist mentality today. I don't care what anybody thinks. God knows my heart. Well, I'm going to tell you, we better start getting a little bit concerned again about what they think. Because they're watching you and I, and they need to see Christ in us this morning. And these people had neglected their duty. Look at verse 9, if you would. The Bible said, because my house is waste, and you run every man unto his own house. The little word run there means that what they were doing for themselves, they had a lot of excitement about, had a lot of enthusiasm about. I mean, they were running to and fro doing what they wanted to do. They were excited about those things. You ever seen anybody get real excited about all this other stuff and, boy, when it comes time to do the work of God, it's a pull, it's a struggle it to get folks to get enthused. I tell you why. We just need God to stir us again. We need God to stir us again. We've kind of got indifferent toward the work of God. We've neglected our duty. But not only did they... We see the neglect of duty here, but we see a noticeable defeat. Look at what the Bible says. You've sown much and you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes. The Lord said,
He's called for the heavens to be stayed from her dew in verse 10, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And he called. God was in charge of this thing. He called for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn, the new wine, the oil, the ground that bringeth forth, upon the men and the cattle and all the labor of their hands. You see here that the work had stopped. They'd stopped building. And when they stopped building, God stopped blessing. It scares me sometimes, not that I'm terrified, but to think how many times we just go through the motions of doing the work of God and serving God. Not with any excitement in our hearts. We can outline passages even of Scripture and make our little notes, and we can go through the motions of preaching the Word of God even in these days. We know when we need to raise our voice to get folks' attention, when we need to lower it to maybe fit a different situation. We know how to do all that stuff. And I wonder sometimes if we sow much and we bring in little, we can't get enough to eat, we can't get filled with drink, we can't get warm, and we earn all this to put in bags with holes simply because we've neglected our duties to God today. And when the work stopped, the blessing stopped. God made sure in verse number 9, 10, 11 that they knew that He was in charge of what was going on. Their problem wasn't caused by a national disaster in that day. God put a stop to everything. He blew upon it. In verse number 9, He said, "You looked for much and it came to little. When you brought it home, I did blow upon it." The Lord said, "You ask why? Because my house is lying waste. My work's not getting done. The things that I want you to do is not important. But everything else, you're taking care of everything else." So we see a noticeable defeat, that the sovereign almighty God had caused them to come up empty. You may agree, you may not agree. It seems like today folks are working 3 and 4 jobs if they could get them, doing more than they've ever had to do, trying to get ahead in our society and in our life, and they're getting further and further and further behind. I wonder if it could be possible today that it's because we've neglected the work of God, that we have pushed God's work aside and said, "We've got to do this." I hear, like everybody else here, "Well, preacher, I got to make a living. I got to pay my bills. I got to do all these other things that need to be done." I understand that. I believe man ought to work, but I don't believe it ought to come for God in the things of God. I believe we're suffering some things today. God's allowing us to come up short in some areas today simply because we've neglected our duty. In verse 8, God tells them to go and to bring and to build. In other words, God's saying, if you'll get back, if you want the blessing back, you get back to work. He said, you want this thing to come together again, and you want to see the blessings of God. You want to see the power of God. You want to see God, as Brother Doug said, deliver and solve the problems of our day and take care of the needs in our lives, in our homes, and in our church. He said, just get back to doing what I want you to do. He said, I'll take care of it if you'll do that. Let me close by saying this, and I'm going to be done. There is a neglect of duty here. There's a noticeable defeat. But thank God there's a new determination as well. These folks in the end of this text this morning, the Bible said that Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Jehozadak the high priest with all the remnant of the people
obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. And then Haggai, the Lord's messenger and the Lord's message, said unto the people, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up Zerubbabel, and he stirred up Joshua, and he stirred up all the remnant of the people, and they went back to work at the house of God, doing what God told them to do. In other words, they got a new determination about it. They got more than just a desire to do the work of God. I believe a desire is a good thing. I believe we ought to have a desire to work for God and to live for God and try to do the work of God. But I'm going to tell you, in the days that we're living, it's going to take more than just a desire. It's going to take a determination in our hearts and lives that we're going to get at it. We're going to do what God is going to have us to do. And say, God, you stir us up. God, you arouse us. God, you awake our hearts again in these days and help us to have the determination to finish the work that you've called us to do. They returned to some things here. First of all, a reverence for God. They did fear before the Lord. They returned to, you know the reason they failed to get the work done in the beginning? Can I tell you today that I believe that they had a lack of reverence for the God that is doing the work for?
I believe that.
Is it possible today that a reason we fail to do a lot of the work that needs to be done is because we just don't have the respect and reverence for God that we ought to have in our hearts and lives?
Right.
I tell you, when we get Him reverent, when we begin to reverence God and respect God and have that godly fear in our hearts and lives, Lord, we won't have any problem working for God. We ain't going to be wanting to push His work aside to do something on our own. We're going to want to do something to please Him and honor His name. And they returned to a reverence for God. And they returned to a rebuilding for God. The Bible said that they went back to work. These folks here, and I'm going to be done, had a new determination, I said. First of all, to be submissive to the will of God. To be submissive. They obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. They determined, hey, God, you brought us out of Babylon. God, you brought us and got us out of that mess, and you brought us back here to do the work, and we failed to do what you've called us to do. We failed to finish the work that you put us in, and now we're going to return to a determination in our heart that we're going to be submissive to you and obey you and do what you'd have us to do. Boy, wouldn't it be a great thing today if our churches would one more time say, God, we're going to determine in our heart that we're going to be submissive to your will, not what I want to do, not my wishes, not my whims, not my ideas, but dear God, we're going to submit ourselves to the will of God this morning and what you've got for our lives. And I believe they returned to a submissiveness to the will of God. I believe they returned to a steadfastness in the ways of God. You say, preacher, why do you think that they were steadfast in the ways of God? Well, if you'll go back and read the book of Nehemiah, the persecution, the trouble, the opposition didn't end when they went back to work. In fact, it got turned up just a little bit on them. The heat got turned up. But I can tell you, according to the book of Nehemiah, about 3.5 years later, they finished the job. They did finish the work. And it was because they got this determination to be steadfast in the ways of God. They were no longer going to let things hinder them. They were no longer going to let opposition take them away from what they needed to be doing. And in closing, may I say to you today that they determined that they were going to share in the work of God. They were going to share in the work of God. The people, all the people, not just Zerubbabel, not just Joshua, but the Lord stirred all the remnant of the people, and they all went to work together and shared in the work. I don't know. I know there's several churches represented here today, but the work of any church is bigger than one or two. It takes everybody to get the work done. And if you're a part of Calvary Baptist Church today, you ought to determine
that you're going to share in the work of God around here, that you're going to be a part of the work of God. How could all this happen? How? I don't believe these men can help me and correct me when I'm done. But I don't believe we can just come down here and say, oh God, I'm going to determine to do that. Because if He don't stir it in our hearts, it ain't going to last long. It's not going to last. I can come down here and I can say, God, I do want to determine. I do want to determine in my heart that I'm going to finish what You've placed me here to do. But I need to say, God, You stir me again. God, fan the fire of my heart and soul again. God, arouse us again. God, awake us again in these days to finish the job that You've placed us here to do. Yeah. I don't know what your job is. I don't know what God has for you to do. But we ought to say, Lord, stir us again this morning in the work of God. We get excited about a lot of things, doing a lot of things, going a lot of places. But if we could just get excited one more time about doing the work of God. These folks were excited at one time when they come out of Babylon. They were excited. But some things happened. They lost that zeal and that enthusiasm and that burning desire to do the work of God. But I'm glad the Bible says the Lord stirred them up again. God stirred something in their heart again that they could go on and finish what God had called them to do. May God help us and stir our hearts today in His good work. Brother Allen, thank you, sir.
Well, that's timely, wasn't it?